August the 4th in 2024 at a park in Bloomington, Indiana. There was an event happened. It was called the Trifling Picnic. It's about the 11th year this event was held by Phil and Elaine Amerson. But this was a special edition of the Trifling Picnic, which was meant to draw together some of Phil and Elaine's friends and colleagues and people they had interchanged with. It was called the Belonging Exchange, the creation of a new organization designed to encourage and cultivate a sense of community, of mutuality, of joy, to start to provide resources and education in times of celebration for congregations and local communities and civic organizations. An expression of this was events, festivals, such as the Trifling Picnic, for there to be times for reflection, conversation, and exchange of ideas of faith and civic mutuality. Phil and Elaine created this event as a part of their family foundation to give back to people they know in their lives. I happen to be one of those people. I've known Phil and Elaine for many years. My name is Reverend Dr. Brad Miller, and Phil asked me to do some podcast interviews as a part of the Trifling Picnic, the launch of the Belonging Exchange, and that's what you have before you right now. It's a number of interviews and conversations that took place at the picnic, interspersed with some music from the event, just to give you a flavor of the conversations that took place there with about 190 people. And the purpose of this podcast is to help you to understand a little bit about the vision, the meaningfulness of the event for the people who were there, and how that can drive forward the purpose and the vision of the Belonging Exchange, to just to provide a place for people to come together and to belong and to cultivate mutuality and joy, and for that to happen. And Phil and Elaine believe in that, and I believe in them as well. So we have here a number of conversations and some music, but there is some extraneous noise because it was in a picnic setting. I ask you to be mindful of that. This is a part of a short-term podcast of two or three episodes that will give you a sense of the purpose and the people behind the Belonging Exchange, the Trifling Picnic. Please enjoy the conversations and the music.
Tom Heaton from Evansville, Indiana now, kind of a citizen of the world sometimes, but Evansville's home. And again, Phil and Elaine Amerson have been great friends for many, many years, and just here today to support them and their efforts to support the Bloomington community and to encourage all of us to go back to our own communities and form better friendships and better relationships with those that are not like us so that we can better understand the world around us.
And those are not like us is a big part of what you've been about, kind of understanding different cultures, different aspects of life, and working together in community. What do you think is the value then of different groups that are here, civic groups, faith-based groups, community services? What's the value of these different groups coming together to do something good?
Well, I think the biggest thing from today, I'm kind of looking at Diane as I'm talking to you to see if she agrees with me. We've only been here for just a little bit, kind of talking and sharing. But what we've really been doing is we've been hearing stories. We've been hearing people's stories. And it is through hearing people's stories and realizing everybody's story isn't like our story that we begin to have a better and deeper understanding of the world around us. So I think there's power in story and power in sharing stories, and those can bring about a change in a powerful and amazing way.
Absolutely. I'm Adrienne Rockhill, and I am ordained elder, a pastor in the United Methodist Church, serving at Old Bethel on the east side, but we live in Bloomington area. And you know, honestly, Phil sent us an invite, and I thought, this sounds amazing. And when I saw that Shauna Murphy and Diamon were on the list to speak, I was sold. So I think it's fantastic. I had no idea that he does this every year, but it's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you first, Adrienne, about some specific things here, then I'm going to get to you just a second here. What do you think is the value of getting diverse groups together, like faith-based groups, civic groups, business interests, and so on, social services, what have you, in order to do something like this, rub shoulders together to do something for the greater good. What do you think is the value of that?
Well, I think when we're advocating for and trying to promote change in the church, the way we do that is together across all of those different areas that you just mentioned in the community. And that's how we work towards that. And I think sometimes the church gets a little too walled off. And so that's one of the ways we get outside of our walls. One of the ways we hear stories. Honestly, one of the ways we find our place as a church in that wider picture is by hearing and knowing our community. And I think that's been really eye-opening with him running for office this year.
Yeah.
Is that's one of the things that I've gotten from that. All these political, but then it's been eye-opening to see like just so many good people that are working towards change.
Sure. Well, let's talk about that then in terms of the application of an event like this, getting these diverse groups together.
Yeah.
How does it apply then to civic responsibility, to the political systems, how there can be some good done moving forward? And that kind of goes to, you know, why you are running for office in terms of doing whatever you think needs to be done.
Yeah, certainly. So I think the common good is the common thread. We're all here seeking the common good, trying to make life better for everybody in the spheres of influence that we have. And I think the more we can synergize in those efforts, I'm running for office out of the realization that charity will never fully fix what policy creates. Charity is not a solution for injustice, but charity and generosity are always necessary. And the more we can come together and imagine a better future and share ideas with people who are different from us, who have different gifts and experiences and backgrounds and connections, the more we can work together to serve the common good.
So perhaps charity and polity do not policy do not have to be kind of separate or even at odds at times. They can work together.
Absolutely. I tell people, you know, politics often is treated like a dirty word, and I understand why, but I think politics at its best is the way that we love our neighbor in the public square.
Sure.
It comes from the Greek word, you know, that essentially means life together in the city. And that's how we affect one another's lives, how our lives intersect, and at its best can be the way that everything comes together and we administratively enact the will of the people.
Well, very good. Thanks for sharing, both of you. One more time, tell us your name, where you're from, and what your ministry, and then I'll get to you.
Absolutely. I am Adrian Rockhill. I am living in Bloomington, serving on the east side of Indianapolis at Old Bethel United Methodist Church as an ordained pastor, and just here to be part of this incredible group and get to know some new people and hear some stories.
And tell us one more time your name and a little bit about the office you're running for and what's that's all about.
Sure, yeah. So I'm Thomas Horrocks. I'm a pastor of Beechwood Christian Church down in French Lick, Indiana. I'm also running for state representative for House District 62, which is Monroe and Brown County, one of the most competitive legislative races in Indiana this year.
My name is Cinda O'Connor, and I've lived here in Bloomington for the last almost 48 years, but I grew up near Brad in Gibson County, a little tiny place named Owensville.
So, I'm originally from Princeton, right nearby, so how about that? Small world.
Yeah, small world.
So what brings you here today, and what do you see as the reason this event even exists?
Because of Philany Lane. We love Philany Lane because when they came to the church, our kids were just at the age where they loved them as much as we did. Our kids, Tim was in middle school. Phil said he might never do another class of the middle schoolers after Tim O'Connor, but he survived. Both of them did.
So this particular event we're at today is called the Trifling Picnic and Belonging Exchange.
Yeah.
You're here, and there's a lot of folks here from different backgrounds, different social groups and faith communities and civic organizations. What do you think is the meaningfulness or the purpose of bringing people together from diverse groups to do some good for the community.
Absolutely. And that's what, you know, I think while Phil was our faith leader at First Church, those of us who were lucky enough to be there kind of leaned on him for these kind of things. And now, as we just continue as friends, I think still Phil and Elaine are leaders for us in all kinds of social event, social justice event kind of things.
Yeah.
So
do you think that this is the type of thing that may lead to other types of events, educational or application? You know, we've heard about Habitat for Humanity, for instance. Do you think when people come together from diverse backgrounds, it can help to be applied to the practical matters that need to be addressed?
Oh, I do, Brad. I think that's really, and that's what's so great about being here and being with friends and people we don't know, but, you know, we leave as friends. So.
Drew Amerson from Oakland, California. I'm the son of Phil and Elaine, and I am here with my son today. We flew out a couple days ago to be part of this trifling picnic.
And tell us your name, where you're from, and why you're here.
I'm Lydia Murray, and I am the daughter of Phil and Elaine. I am here with my two boys, Colin, who's 21, and Zach, who's 15. We're here to gather and be with good friends.
Yeah.
And meet new friends.
Tell a little bit from your perspective, because it's mentioned as a family project. It's been mentioned a couple of times that way.
Yeah.
How do you see that playing out, not only your family dynamic, but how there's impact here in this community and other communities you've been a part of?
Yeah, I think the purpose of the Belonging Foundation, is that we need more human connection these days in a world of social media and feeling really disconnected. Having connections with real people in the flesh and meeting new people that you can make connections with is what is desperately needed, and this event is part of supporting that.
Yeah. And what do you see as the value then of this connection that your folks, Phil and Elaine, put together, and kind of your legacy, and I know your kids are part of it as well, I met some of them. What do you think is the value of people from all these different kind of walks of life? You know, politically, socially, ethnically, civic, faith-based. What's the value of all that coming together to do something for the greater good?
Sure. So, you know, Elaine and Phil have dedicated their lives to this idea of community and been really intentional about trying to develop that community, and I think this is just a natural extension of that. But the cool thing about this is my parents have always been pretty high-strung, is that fair to say? And I think that in their retirement they've been able to take a step back. And this is a really nice, easy way to bring in a whole bunch of different folks who otherwise wouldn't get a chance to know each other and to build those networks and those connections between these people. So it's really fun to see.
Yeah, that's a good thing. One more thing, how do you think this is meaningful to your family as a part of just who you are as a family?
Yeah, I mean, this is an important piece of our family and what we care about. We care about connections, we care about community, we care about making the world a better place. We're doing all the good we can, and this is...
My name's Isak Asari. I'm a city councilor here in Bloomington. I'm here because anytime that Pastor Amerson invites you to go places, you go. No, but on the serious note, the greatest part of this city are the people in it, and the opportunity really to connect with people on a human level and to think about our boldest ideas for the future and to work together and in harmony to make the city everything that we imagine it to be, that we want it to be, to really become the community that we deserve to be. So I just love those opportunities.
So you mentioned a couple things there, boldness and harmony, I find interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think is the value of an event such as this, which brings together people with diverse backgrounds?
Might be
politically, it might be religiously, it might
right.
be in the business interest,
right.
civic. Other social organizations. What's the value of bringing those folks together to kind of rub shoulders together, get to know one another in order to see what's next, see what's good. What's the value of that?
I mean, you know, the Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, we can't all be an eye. He said, if we all were an eye, you know, where would the walking go, or where would the smelling go, and you name it. And so for a body to function, and we can think of our community as a body, if our body is to function, you need the diversity of parts, right? Yeah. And so if we're going to move in any direction, you know, it's going to require working together. And so, you know, I think in that, I did mention, though, the word boldness. I think that it takes an element of fearlessness, of willingness to actually take steps forward. I think that, you know, fear of the unknown, fear of the other, that's right, fear of loss, fear sometimes even of success, is something that often captivates and keeps us from moving forward. But love, which in my mind is the opposite of fear, because perfect love casts out fear. And so when I think about operating in love, love liberates, love, you know, love hopes, love expects, love works together, you name it.
And it's interesting you say all those kind of good stuff. Right. But those things need an environment to live in.
Yes.
And it takes some intentionality to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems to be the type of event that could be that environment where some of these things you're mentioning, harmony, love, boldness, can come together. Mm-hmm. And perhaps even from your civic mindedness lead to some other practical application.
Yes.
You see that as a possibility, at least, how something like this can lead to, oh, we've heard about Habitat for Humanity, other things such as that. Practical application of that love and boldness.
Yeah, I mean, right, realistically, right now, just before you asked me to be here, I was speaking to somebody about how do we apply some of the, you know, nice intentions that we're talking about here in practice in the city. I think that sort of, I don't know the best way to say this, but the information dissymmetry in town often makes it very difficult for us to carry out our good intentions. And what I mean by that is that we don't always see every part of the city the same way, but we have to be intentional about building community so that we can get a better picture of the city that we live in, so that we can get a better picture of the actions that we need to take.
Yeah. Diverse parts working together for a greater good.
Well, that's right. But I mean, I think from my perspective on council, I was just talking to a neighbor living in Crestmont, and you know, we're talking about how through this whole year nobody has brought up or done any work about the food desert that existed there, and that's been a situation for 20 plus years. And we started to talk about and actually strategize about how do we make sure that this is on the agenda and stays on the agenda. You know, what are some legislation that we can start to draft and put forward to make a difference? And that's just, you know, a sort of chance encounter. We both happen to be here, but in talking about imagination and talking about building community, that leads to, okay, like, let's do something about it, right? And what's
those
within our sphere of influence?
Those serendipitous motives can lead to
Stuff. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, but this, and as much as we say it's serendipitous, this wasn't random.
No, it was
because it was intentional, right? And so more of this, please.
My name is Ruth Ike. I live in Bloomington, Indiana. And I am here because my husband, Vaughn, got an invitation from Phil to come, and it sounded like a great event.
Awesome. So fill in the blanks there, your name and why you're here, you know, a little more about that.
Yeah. So I'm Vaughn. I grew up here in Bloomington, Indiana, and I've had the pleasure to work with Phil for the past year on facilitating the new Beacon Center that we are building. And Phil has just been amazing to watch as he reaches out and pulls together the faith-based communities in town to help them figure out what is their role in bolstering this important community resource that Beacon provides in helping us transition this new center over to its new location over on 3rd Street. So it's just been a pleasure to get to know him some, and I was honored to come here today, hear more about watching him weave the community together and some of the great speakers telling their story about community engagement.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like what you're working on is kind of a manifestation of some of the vision that Phil and Elaine have about taking the belonging piece and exchanging it for some sort of a greater good. Am I on target here at all with what we're talking about here?
I think so, and I think definitely, since I've retired and have more time, and just trying to find ways to find belonging in the community. And to we moved back here in 2011, and to really make connections and see how we can make the community stronger.
Yeah. So, Vaughn, what do you think then is the value then of bringing these diverse groups together, for civic groups, faith-based, community organizers, business interests, and so on, to do something for the greater good? What's the value of bringing it all together in a kind of a social setting like this?
Yeah. Well, I really like the message we heard from Shauna this evening about listening. And we need, you know, it's easy for those of us who, if I have the privilege of having a gift, it's so easy to just run out there with that hammer and start looking for nails. And with all the different perspectives we have in this room, you know, the problems we're facing today are complicated. They're, wish it was so easy that we could, you know, do them in an afternoon just working by ourselves, but they're not. It's a community problem, and we need to understand all the facets of the problem, all the different aspects of the challenges that people are going through, and all the different ways that we bring the different gifts together and we can weave those together to form a solution. And so a situation like this with the different perspectives is just really valuable for that.
Hopefully it helps to raise the greater good for everybody, right?
I think so. I definitely think so. And I think, as was emphasized with the musical instruments, we all have gifts.
That was a pretty cool one.
It was really cool, yeah. And it was like, which one am I? And, you know, playing together and the different sounds. And I think we do increasingly segregate ourselves in our communities, right. And I think we need to get past that and be creative together.
I'm Tony Allstad, and connected to Phil and Elaine Amerson through the United Methodist Church.
And then what do you see, and where you live at right now?
My wife and I came up together. We live in New Albany, Indiana, and I serve Wesley Chapel, United Methodist Church.
Very good. Well, tell me, what do you think is the value of an event like this, which brings people together from diverse backgrounds, kind of faith-based communities, civic organizations, other organizations? What's the value of bringing people together to do something good?
Yeah, so Phil has quite a sense of humor using the word trifling, a trifling party,
yeah.
Played off John Wesley, "Let's Not Trifle About." And he's invited us several years. We came several years ago and just found the communication with people, conversation with people from all over the state of Indiana, to be wonderful, actually, and get ideas, see what people are doing, especially some resources along the way. But mainly just to interact with folks outside of your local congregation.
You think there's some values, some energy in that can be used to do practical application, either in ministry or some ways to improve the community?
Well, certainly that involvement is here to take ideas back. I mean, we've already had a great presentation. I really liked the idea of currency being interaction and friendships, how that's a currency as opposed to a monetary currency. And so this is an opportunity to gain currency in relationships. And I don't mean that as in using people, but just in genuine fellowship and friendships.
In some ways it might be kind of the embodiment of the blessed community, kind of a biblical sense, I believe. Do you think it is, has some ringing of that?
Yes, absolutely. Coming together and, don't feel any pressure to be on display, as a lot of pastors do, so to speak. Anytime I go somewhere or go out to eat, I'm always mindful of who might be there. And in this community, I feel like you can be completely yourself and just have an enjoyable day together.
My name is Vince Matthew, and I'm here because I was invited by Phil and the other director, Rick Morgenstern. Yeah, that's why I'm here. They invited me into this space to create something.
Well, and you were a part of the music
yes.
here to create something.
Yes.
So we got a little bit of video of that, but I think the vibe in the room was such, I really would like you to unpack that experience, that musical experience, how it kind of went along with the theme here of bringing diverse folks together to collaborate in something new. Mm. Can you just unpack that a little bit for us?
Sure. So when I heard about asset-based community development, that's how it was positioned to me by Phil, I was all in. It really made me think about everyone brings the best of their own abilities to the community. And when people are recognized for that and they come together, we can really create something extraordinary. And so I was tasked to come up with, well, what would that actually be like? What would that sound like? And so what I did was about 4 or 5 months ago start curating these ideas. And then the ideas then became materialized through what instruments. And the instruments that we chose today, quite frankly, are children's instruments. Handbells, resonator bells, whistles, and triangles and shakers. And so what we did was we invited each attendee to choose one of those instruments based on their personality. And so when they showed up together, it created this harmonious tone in the room. So
it was pretty awesome. It really was. And appreciate it, because I knew that took a lot of effort and thoughtfulness and musical ability to do that. So that was really cool. Let's connect that then to what is kind of the overall purpose of this organization, belonging exchange, people who belong together and exchange ideas and thoughts.
Right.
What do you think is the purpose of this organization and bringing different folks together to do something good? What is the value of that moving forward?
For some reason, this analogy keeps popping up into my mind, that if all the doctors were to congregate in one place, no one would get healed. No one would get healing. Hmm. And so it requires everyone's input. And I think everyone brings a different gift to the community. And when they bring those gifts, or what they're saying is assets, then we can all create something that is unlike anything that we've ever experienced.
So there could be some dynamic aspect to community. The collaboration can create some energy moving forward that maybe serve the greater good in ways that we don't even know yet.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And that's the tone that we're experiencing throughout in the room, in those segments, really represents that harmony. It's a harmonious cooperation.
I've heard that term harmony or harmonious from several people here today, and you being a musician, there's some value when different tones come together to cause harmony, is there not?
That's right, yeah. Sometimes when things are just one note, it's just one note,
yeah.
Right? I can't even explain that correctly, but
yeah, it seems it indicates isolationism, perhaps, could be a metaphor there.
Yeah. And so I found that what could we do by different people coming together and bringing those gifts together? And so everyone chose an instrument based on their personality, and when we played it together, it created this tone in the room.
Humanity and pride.
What a beautiful way to conclude this episode of the Belonging Exchange launch through the Trifling Picnic. That beautiful wave is through the music of Vincent Matthew, who composed the music that we and the songs that were part of the Trifling Picnic, including the music that we used to be a break between the audio segments, the interviews. We certainly thank all the people who are part of the interviews. We will put in our show notes here at this on this podcast all the links that we have to the Belonging Exchange website and the other things that you can know about that can help you follow up with people as a part of the Belonging Exchange. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Belonging Exchange launch at the Trifling Picnic, presented by the Phil and Elaine Amerson Foundation. Please join us on another episode of this short-term podcast, the Belonging Exchange Trifling Picnic Conversations and Music. Until next time, speaking for Phil and Elaine Amerson, I'm Reverend Dr. Brad Miller. We'll see you next time.